to another power-packed deep dive where we don't just talk real estate, we rip it up. We're here to challenge you, motivate you, and maybe even jolt you out of your comfort zone a bit. If you've been watching from the sidelines, you know, wondering when the perfect moment is going to arrive, well, this is your sign. Stop overthinking and start doing. Today, we're embarking on what I think is a crucial mission for anyone looking to really sharpen their real estate investment skills. We're diving deep into the, let's say, often misunderstood world of distressed properties, specifically foreclosures. Now, these can be incredible opportunities, right? But they're also kind of notorious for being money pits. So the big question is, how do you tell the difference? How do you spot that golden opportunity versus, you know, a costly trap? We're going to break down the exact formulas you need, the critical questions you must ask, and those glaring red flags to watch out for. The goal here is so you can confidently spot hidden value and, maybe more importantly, avoid those expensive mistakes that can just derail your whole plan. This isn't about just finding a cheap house.
It's really about disciplined, calculated decision-making to build genuine wealth and, of course, protect your investments. Okay, let's unpack this then. We often hear foreclosures called gold mines, but just as often, money pits.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, what truly separates the investors who consistently win from those who end up getting buried in unexpected costs? Is there, like, one core thing?
Yeah, there really is. The foundational difference, the thing that truly separates success from, well, disaster sometimes, it's pure discipline. Just straightforward discipline. Think about it like this. I knew an investor once, jumped into a foreclosure auction. Price looks amazing, incredibly low. But no detailed inspection, no real grasp of the market comps, just gut feeling.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Ended up sinking twice the purchase price into a foundation repair they never saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
Then the market dipped a bit. That gold mine turned into a financial black hole fast.
Wow.
Successful investors, though, they follow clear math, strict rules, almost non-negotiable rules, and unemotional decision-making. That's key. They don't just dive in hoping. They execute a strategy they planned beforehand. They really understand that emotion. It's the enemy of profit here.
That story just hits the nail on the head. So, okay, discipline is the mindset. Avoid emotional decisions. Got it. But what are the practical tools? What are the key elements, the foundations that listeners absolutely need to understand before they even think about making an offer?
Right. To operate with that discipline, you need the right tools. Your navigational system, basically. These aren't just buzzwords. First, the after repair value, ARV, what it's worth after the fix-up.
Okay.
Then your estimated repair cost. And you have to be brutally honest with yourself on this one.
Right.
Next, your max allowable offer, MAO, your absolute top price, period. Then you have to understand holding risk, the costs and delays while you own it. And finally, deal velocity. How quickly you can turn it around. These are the essential calculations, the things smart investors nail down before writing any offer. It stops those costly emotional mistakes, gives you a clear, objective path.
That framework sounds absolutely critical. So let's dig into what really makes a good foreclosure deal then. Because like you said, it's clearly not just about snagging it cheap, right? There has to be more.
Absolutely. A good deal is way more nuanced than just low price. To be a real wealth builder, it has to hit three core things. Non-negotiable. First, enough equity spread, a healthy margin between your purchase price and that ARV after repairs. No margin, no deal. It's too risky.
Okay, that makes sense. Spread.
Second, controlled risk means a crystal clear exit strategy before you buy and a predictable, realistic rehab timeline. No guessing.
Right, predictable.
And third, it needs either speed or cash flow. So potential for a fast flip or strong, reliable rental income if you plan to hold. The bottom line here, and it's profound, really, a good deal builds wealth. It protects your downside, you know, against surprises or market shifts.
Yeah.
And crucially, it doesn't trap your capital for a year. Your money needs to work, not just sit there bleeding costs.
That really clarifies the big picture. Okay, let's get tactical. We're looking at a potential foreclosure. What's the very first concrete step? Where do we start the actual analysis?
Step one, always calculate the after repair value, or ARV. This is your projection of market value after you've done the work, made it shine. And to get this right, you need recent comps, comparable sales.
Okay, comps, how recent, how close?
Very tight radius, ideally within half a mile, and sold within the last 6 months, no older.
Hmm.
And these comps, they need to be similar. Same bed bath count, roughly, same square footage, same style, same condition after your plan fixes.
Gotcha, apples to apples.
Exactly. And here's a pro tip many miss. Always discount your ARV estimate for downsides. Busy road, corner lot, weird layout you can't easily fix, knock some value off. And be conservative. This is crucial for discipline. Don't bet on the market going up while you're fixing it. Base your ARV on today's solid numbers. Realism. not hope.
Okay, solid conservative ARV. Check. Next big piece, the cost to get it there. Estimating repairs. This is where I see so many folks, especially newer investors, just blow their budget completely. How do we nail this accurately?
You are absolutely right. Repair estimates are make or break. A quick walkthrough, just guessing, that's a recipe for disaster. Financial pain guaranteed. You really need a detailed contractor's scope of work. Or, at minimum, use a thorough rehab calculator, line by line. Forces you to think it through.
What items specifically?
All the big stuff first. Foundation, huge potential cost. Roof, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. The systems, then all the cosmetics.
Yeah.
Kitchen, baths, flooring, paint, fixtures. But don't stop there. You must factor in permits, fees, potential labor shortages in your area, driving up costs or causing delays.
Ah, the hidden costs.
Exactly. And here's the rule. Always, always add a 10 to 15% buffer, a contingency. On the entire estimate, it's non-negotiable. Especially on older homes or foreclosures, surprises aren't just likely, they're practically guaranteed. That buffer is your safety net.
Okay, that buffer sounds essential. Now, this is where it gets really powerful, right? The formula that ties ARV and repairs together. Tell us about the max allowable offer, or MAO. This really is the gold standard for serious investors, isn't it?
It absolutely is the investor gold standard. It's the formula that puts discipline into a number and protects your profit. And the MAO formula, it's deceptively simple. MAO equates ARV times 70% minus repairs.
ARV might point 7 repairs.
Okay. Yep. And that 70% isn't random. It's a battle-tested buffer. It accounts for market shifts, unexpected repair costs, closing costs, selling costs. And critically, it ensures there's enough room left for a decent profit when you sell. It insulates you.
Can you walk us through an example? Make it concrete.
Sure. Let's say your conservative ARV is $300,000. Your detailed repair estimate with the buffer is $40,000. So your MAO is $300,000 times 0.7, which is $210,000, minus the $40,000 in repairs. That gives you a max allowable offer of $170,000.
$170,000.
Right. And the discipline here is vital. That means you should never offer more than $170,000 for that property. Even if it's listed at $190,000 and everyone else thinks it's a steal, your number is 170K. Stick to it. That's the deal that works for you.
But I can hear someone thinking, okay, but what if the market is super hot and 70% feels too low? I'll never get a deal accepted. How do you advise sticking to that discipline then?
That's a fantastic question. And it goes right to the heart of discipline investing. Look, 70% is a strong baseline, especially for foreclosures with those unknowns. Now, experienced investors might nudge that slightly, maybe. Maybe up to 75% for a property with extremely low perceived risk or in a truly crazy seller's market.
Okay, so a little flex sometimes.
A little, maybe. But pushing beyond that, especially on a foreclosure, extremely risky. If the numbers don't work at 70, maybe 75% max, then it's not a good deal for you. Doesn't matter how hot the market is, your discipline is your shield. You just move on, find the next one. Remember, the goal isn't just buying a house, it's buying a profitable one.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so even with a great MAO, sticking to the formula, there are still those external risks, right? Things like can eat profits. What about holding costs and those crucial exit strategies you mentioned? How do we factor in those variables?
This is huge. Understanding holding and exit risk is vital. It's often where a seemingly cheap deal can slowly bleed you dry if you're not prepared. People often underestimate how fast property taxes, insurance, utilities, loan interest, even basic upkeep add up month after month.
The burn rate.
Exactly, the burn rate. Think about it. Permits stall for months. You're paying interest and holding costs that whole time. Contractor flakes. Project stalls, costs mount. Or the market shifts downward while you're holding it. Suddenly your ARV isn't so solid.
Right.
So you have to ask those tough questions before you buy. What is my monthly burn rate? All in. Can I refi into a rental loan if selling gets tough? Is there actual strong rental demand as a backup?
So plan B is essential.
Essential. A truly good deal always has at least two profitable exit strategies, not just one hope. Relying on just a quick flip is too risky. And this ties into deal velocity, too. A long, drawn-out project kills your velocity, ties up your capital, makes you miss other opportunities.
That clarity on exits and holding costs really is a game changer. Okay, let's flip the coin now. We know what makes a good deal. What are the big glaring red flags that scream bad deal? The money pits we need to avoid at all costs, even if they look cheap up front.
Yeah, this is about knowing when to just walk away, no matter how low the price seems. Bad deals, especially foreclosures, often have these warning signs. You got to burn these into your brain. First, it's just too thin. After all your projected cost repairs, holding, selling, there's barely any profit margin left or none at all. Any small surprise wipes you out. Huge red flag.
No room for error.
None. Second, hidden damage. Stuff you didn't see or couldn't estimate properly. Major mold, big foundation issues, maybe fire or water damage that's worse than it looked. These costs spiral fast. Third, title problems. Absolute nightmare. Undisclosed liens, a second mortgages, owners who aren't on the deed can tie you up in legal knots forever.
Oof, yeah. Title issues kill deals.
For sure. Fourth, an overestimated ARV. Maybe the comps you used were from a nicer area or assumed finishes way too high-end for the actual property or market. Be realistic. And finally, investing in slow markets. If properties just sit and you can't sell or rent reasonably quickly, the holding costs will eat you alive. That burn rate just keeps burning.
So the key takeaway is?
The critical rule. If the deal only works with best case numbers, if everything has to go absolutely perfectly for you to eke out a profit, it's a bad deal. Walk away. Plan for bumps in the road.
Okay, to really drive this home, let's put some numbers on it. A good deal versus a bad deal side by side. Give us the breakdown.
Perfect. Let's contrast them. First, a good deal example. Imagine your conservative ARV is $250,000. Your detailed repair estimate with buffer is $30,000. And you managed to buy it for $135,000.
Okay, well below the MAO there.
Exactly. So after all costs, holding, selling commissions, everything, your potential profit is solid, maybe $45,000. And crucially, your plan B. You know you could rent it for $750 a month, easily covering costs and maybe providing some cash flow.
So why is that good?
Plenty of equity spread provides safety. A fast flip is likely possible. And you have that strong rental backup. Your capital works efficiently. Risk is managed. Now, contrast that with a bad deal example. Let's say the ARV is optimistically pegged at $290,000. Repairs. Initially guessed at $60,000.
Guessed.
Is right. Turns out the real costs are way higher, maybe $100K plus once you uncover problems. You pay $200,000 for it. Then, surprise. Major septic issues. Permit delays drag on. Unexpected stuff nobody budgeted for. Suddenly, your timeline balloons. 10 months, maybe more. You're bleeding cash every month on holding costs, and the profit evaporated. There's basically no margin left once you factor in the real cost and the extended holding time. Your capital is trapped, locked up, high risk, and the rental market maybe isn't strong enough as a backup. That right there is a classic money pit. You didn't buy an investment, you bought a stressful, expensive job.
Wow. Seeing the numbers side by side makes it incredibly clear. So, wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener, whether you're aspiring or already active in real estate investing? It seems obvious that while foreclosures offer huge potential, they absolutely demand meticulous analysis and that unwavering discipline we keep talking about.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how these simple criteria, these formulas, when you apply them consistently, how powerful they become. It really does shift things. It takes an unpredictable, potentially high-risk market and turns it into a strategic, calculated opportunity. It gives you that framework, lets you make informed decisions, not just emotional guesses, which really raises a critical question for you, the listener, to think about.
Yes. Are you applying the same level of rigorous, unemotional discipline to all your investment decisions? Or are you still, maybe just a little bit, hoping for that perfect moment to just arrive without doing the hard analytical work first? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into navigating the often tricky world of distressed properties. Remember, that perfect moment, it isn't something you just wait around for. It's the one you create through informed, disciplined action. Now go forth and rip it up.